Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, November 4th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Wall Street braces for the October jobs report.
Apple is the latest company to put the brakes on hiring.
Twitter plans job cuts today as it gets hit by a class action lawsuit over the firings.
And Donald Trump gives his strongest signal yet that he plans to run for president in 2024.
The NYPD has arrested a suspect in the rape of a Manhattan jogger. Plus, New Jersey Governor Murphy warns of a credible threat to synagogues. I'm Mike LaVar. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A Kyrie Irving suspension followed by an apology. The Astros beat the Phillies to take the lead in the World Series.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Cohn Resnick. Advisory, assurance, tax, business strategies, financial intelligence, viewpoints, all in one place. Visit Cohn Resnick's C-Suite dashboard, CohnResnick.com/C-Suite.
And futures are jumping on this Friday morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 23 points. Dow futures up 147. And NASDAQ futures up 75. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 4.13%. And the yield on the two-year, 4.74%. Nathan.
Karen, a busy week on the economic calendar wraps up this morning with the October jobs report. Economists forecast a gain of 195,000 payrolls with an unemployment rate of 3.6%. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
Today's jobs figures could have a major impact on markets, but likely only if they come in stronger than forecast. The Fed is looking for deceleration, and if we get slower job creation and a higher unemployment rate, that would be perceived as good news. Fed policymakers expect the jobless rate to rise, but though they've raised the nation's benchmark interest rate by 375 basis points this year, so far it hasn't budged. Stronger than forecast numbers would suggest the Fed has to raise rates higher than markets currently expect, and there would be a rush to reprice. Still, with three inflation reports and another jobs number before the Fed meets again, any big reaction today may be short-lived. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. We'll have complete coverage and analysis of the jobs report at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. When it arrives an hour later, we will speak live with Labor Secretary Marty Walsh on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, Nathan, we're seeing more tech companies pull back on hiring. The latest evidence of that is that Apple, the iPhone maker, is hitting pause on most positions outside of research and development. And we get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Sources say it's an escalation of an existing plan to reduce budgets heading into next year. Apple joins other technology giants in tapping the brakes on hiring, a response to sluggish consumer spending and higher interest rates. The iPhone maker has fared better than many tech peers this year, but it's still facing an industry-wide slowdown for smartphones and computers. In a statement, Apple said it does continue to hire, quote, but given the current economic environment, we're taking a very deliberate approach in some parts of the business. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Charlie, thank you. And Twitter plans to start cutting staff today. As we've been reporting, the new owner, Elon Musk, plans to eliminate half the 7,500 people who work at the social media platform. Those planned layoffs have now prompted a class action lawsuit accusing Twitter of violating a federal law that requires at least 60 days' notice before mass firings.
Well, the hiring squeeze isn't just in the tech sector, Nathan. Coca-Cola is offering voluntary buyouts to some of its staff in North America. The beverage maker currently employs about 6,000 people on the continent. Coke is not saying which positions or how many will be affected or eliminated.
You could call this job news of a political kind, Karen. Former President Donald Trump is sending his strongest signal yet that he plans to run for the White House again in 2024. Amy Morris has the details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Trump has teased for months that he plans to make another White House run, but during last night's rally in Iowa, he all but declared his candidacy.
In order to make our country successful and safe and glorious, I will very, very, very probably do it again, okay?
His former advisor, Kellyanne Conway, says she expects Trump to announce soon, likely after Tuesday's elections. The rally was billed as an event supporting Republican Senator Chuck Grassley and other endorsed candidates. It also happens to be the state that holds the first presidential caucuses. Trump is also scheduled to hold rallies in Pennsylvania, Florida, and Ohio. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Well, turning back to the markets now, stocks in Asia rose overnight as Chinese tech shares rebounded more than 10%. And we get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index headed for its biggest weekly jump since July as Chinese assets rallied amid investor speculation Beijing may roll back its COVID zero policy. Chinese stocks listed in Hong Kong had their best week since 2011. The offshore yuan jumped more than 1% against the dollar, but Japanese shares were a drag in Asia as investors in Tokyo played catch up after Thursday's holiday. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. In Europe, Britain's headed for a deep recession that could lead to more than 500,000 people losing their jobs. That was the Bank of England's message yesterday as it raised interest rates by 75 basis points to a 14-year high of 3%. BOE Governor Andrew Bailey is defending the rate hike.
Well, the fact that we've done 75 today, nobody should read into it. That's the new norm. I don't think people would be surprised when they see that we and the Fed are looking at things through slightly different lenses.
Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey made those comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix.
Well, back here in the U.S., Nathan, New York City's new pay transparency law has a blind spot, Wall Street bonuses. The new law requires local employers to make a best estimate of their salary range and job postings. The idea is it'll give candidates a stronger hand in negotiating compensation. But bonuses are exempt from the law, even though they make up the bulk of Wall Street pay.
Okay, let's look at some stocks that may be on the move on Wall Street today, Karen. Shares of Starbucks are now up more than 3% in early trading. The company reported sales that exceeded expectations. PayPal shares right now are down about 7%. The payment platform trimmed its forecast for annual revenue amid a slowdown in spending growth. And shares of Block are higher by almost 14.5%. The company, formerly known as Square, reported revenue above analyst estimates. S&P futures are higher by 24 points right now. NASDAQ futures up 78. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 53 degrees in Central Park. We've got two accidents on the westbound Belt Parkway that Peter Vann will fill you in on shortly. First, Michael Barr's here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The NYPD says a man with more than a dozen prior arrests has been taken into custody for allegedly raping a woman on a jogging path along the Hudson River in Manhattan's Lower West Side yesterday. The victim was able to flag down another jogger for help after the incident.
She was bleeding on her arms and she wasn't wearing any shoes. Her clothes were kind of torn up, but I could tell that they were workout clothes.
Police say after the attack, the suspect, Carl Fainer, took the victim's wallet and was arrested at a Target store using the victim's card. The midterm elections will be held this Tuesday across the country with many tight races that will decide the balance of power in Congress. Republican Congressman Andy Barr of Kentucky.
People are ready for a big change. I anticipate a red tidal wave election, not just here in Kentucky, but around the country in battleground districts for the control of the Congress. I anticipate not only that voters will make a change in the majority and put Republicans in charge, but it's going to be a big win.
Congressman Barr on Bloomberg's balance of power. The race in Pennsylvania is being watched very closely as Democrat John Fetterman and Republican Mehmet Oz are neck and neck, according to the latest polls. It could determine control of the U.S. Senate. Meanwhile, Oprah Winfrey, who helped make Dr. Oz a household name on TV, says she is backing Fetterman in the race. The race for New York's 18th congressional district is also being watched. Democratic Congressman Pat Ryan is up against New York Republican Assemblyman Colin Schmidt. Ryan talked about abortion and the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade.
Unequivocally, it is one of the, it's not the only issue, of course, but it is one of the most salient issues that people are rightly outraged that fellow Americans' fundamental rights and freedoms were ripped away.
Colin Schmidt.
The issues that are playing out here are the economy and crime. That is the main two issues They're almost tied in importance to the voters when we hear about it.
Schmidt and Ryan spoke on Sound On, which airs at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg. Governor Phil Murphy says authorities are closely monitoring a credible threat to New Jersey synagogues. Murphy says law enforcement officials have stepped up patrols. No word on what information officials had received. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi with John Stashford.
All right, Nathan, another eventful day in the life of Kyrie Irving. It began in Nets practice, after which Irving met the media for the first time since last Saturday. He said plenty, but like last Saturday, at no time apologized for that posting of the anti-Semitic video. That angered NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, and it angered the Nets, who suspended Irving for at least 5 games, they said, until he satisfies a series of measures. 4 hours later, there was an apology in an online post, so it's not known if Kyrie will play for the Nets tonight in Washington. At the World Series, after games that were 7-0 and 5-0, which was a no-hitter, a tight game 5 in Philadelphia. The Astros scored on the fourth pitch of the top of the first, and the Phillies scored on Justin Verlander's second pitch of the bottom, a Kyle Schwarber home run, 1-1 in the fourth.
Here's the 2-2. Swing and a drive down the left field line. Schwarber back. He's on the warning track. And that is out of here! Jeremy Peña! Over and out! The Astros lead 2-1 as Peña shoots a rainbow to left.
KBME made the call. Peña, the rookie shortstop, had 3 hits, drove in 2, and the Astros beat the Phillies 3-2 with Verlander finally getting the World Series win. He came in 0-6 with a 6 ERA. Game 6 tomorrow night in Houston. Also, Philadelphia versus Houston. The NFL, the Eagles stay undefeated, beat the Texans 29-17. Bruins beat the Rangers 5-2. Islanders and Devils both won on the road and have both won 5 in a row. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 21 points. Dow futures up 133. NASDAQ futures up 68 points. As we await October payrolls, we'll preview the data next with Bloomberg's Michael McKee. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Sports is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update is brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com. The global equities are trimming a weekly loss as Chinese shares surge amid signs that authorities are trying harder to ease the impact of its COVID zero policy. Treasuries are a little changed before today's jobs data. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 22 points this morning. Dow futures up 139. NASDAQ futures up 68. The DAX in Germany is up 1.3%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 4.14%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.74%. NYMEX crude oil is up 3%, up $2.69 at $90.87 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.1% or $18.10 at $16.49 an ounce. The euro, 0.9780 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1221, and the yen, 147.83. And Bitcoin up 1.6% at $20,550. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Former President Donald Trump sent the strongest signal yet that he plans to run again in 2024. At a rally in Sioux City, Iowa, Trump falsely claimed again that the election was rigged. Chinese President Xi Jinping has called for peace talks over Ukraine and warned against the conflict going nuclear in a meeting with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. The German leader is in Beijing for a one-day visit. In the NBA, the Nets' Kyrie Irving has apologized after being suspended for at least 5 games for failing to disavow anti-Semitism when he was given an opportunity to do so. As for the games, the Warriors lost. The Astros are a game away from winning the World Series. Game 5, Houston beat the Phillies 3-2. Thursday night football, the Eagles down the Texans 29-17. In the NHL, the Bruins beat the Rangers 3-1. The Islanders and Devils won. The Capitals lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. We're coming up to 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. On this Jobs Friday, we are joined ahead of the data by Bloomberg Global Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee. Will be breaking down the numbers for us later on, 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time when we get them from the Labor Department. But ahead of that, Mike, the economists we've been talking to are forecasting a little more moderation in the labor market. I just spoke with BMO's Jennifer Lee an hour ago, asked her whether this print's going to have an effect on what the Fed does next month. Her quick answer was no. But the Fed's got to be looking at whether what it's doing is starting to have an impact on the labor market.
Well, I can guess why her answer was no, and that's because we have another jobs report and a couple more consumer price index reports before the next Fed meeting. So
yeah,
things could change, but that's why I'm saying this is not as important a jobs report as we have seen from some recently, but it is one that could have a big effect on the markets. Because after Jay Powell news conference on Wednesday, where he suggested the Fed's terminal rate's going to have to be higher, markets are struggling to figure out where that terminal rate is. And if we get a stronger than expected report today, then you could see a rather dramatic reaction, shall we say, in the bond and stock markets. It may not be long-lived, but it will be definitely a negative if we get a big number.
Are we seeing any signs in the data ahead of this report that we could get a stronger than expected overall number later on? I mean, we just got weekly jobless claims that are, you know, still somewhat elevated, but they're trending downward as well, aren't they?
They are. We also got some stronger news in the sense from the ISM manufacturing report. And the ADP report, which nobody quite knows how to read these days, was also stronger.
They keep changing it, right?
The question is, does the ISM services number, which saw a contraction in jobs, mean more than any of those? And what does it all mean? We're all waiting to find out. Also, we're looking at the unemployment rate. The Fed has forecast it will go up, and private sector forecasters are anticipating it going up a lot more than the Fed. But it hasn't budged, even though the Fed's raised rates by 375 basis points so far this year. So when does that start to happen? Our consensus calls for a 3.6%. That's a tick up from 3.5%. But does it go higher than that, or does it still hold? There are some economists who think that the labor market is tight enough that it could fall.
It's pretty interesting, isn't it, that when we are in this cycle where we've seen unprecedented rate hikes, 475 basis point moves in a row, that we're still kind of stuck in this range on a really low unemployment rate. What are the economists that you're talking to telling you about why they think that is?
Well, it's very hard to discern exactly what's going on, but a lot of it has to do with the pandemic, of course. We had a whole sea change in the way people think about work. So many people now working from home, people moved out of the cities, and then a lot of people retired. This was happening. The baby boom generation was reaching 65 and starting to drop out of the labor force. But then a lot of people, when they got laid off during the pandemic, just decided not to come back. Now, there are some indications that they are beginning to come back because it's more fun to have more money in your pocket. But at this point, we're still down in terms of participation among older workers. And the participation rate for prime age workers, which is basically 25 to 49, 25 to 54, is about where it was before the pandemic. So it's people leaving the labor force that have left us with fewer workers and left demand high. Mm-hmm. One reason we're seeing the JOLTS numbers so high.
Yeah, only about 30 seconds left here. But if we are starting to see people come back from the sidelines to some extent, what does that mean for the wage pressures that the Fed is looking at so closely?
Well, in theory, they should bring those down. More people competing for jobs means that the employers need to pay less to get somebody. And that's what the Fed is hoping. Not for a collapse. They'd like to see incomes rise about 3 to 3.5% a year, but 5%, 6%, that's contributing to inflation. That's not good enough. So let's watch those numbers as well.
Absolutely. And we definitely will do that. 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time when Bloomberg's Michael McKee will be back across Bloomberg radio and television to break down those numbers from October payrolls. Again, the consensus from economists we've surveyed calls for 195,000 new non-farm payrolls added in October and the unemployment rate up just a tick to 3.6%. Futures ahead of that moving higher. S&P futures up 26 points. Dow futures up 171 and NASDAQ futures are higher by 81 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mostly sunny, upper 60s today, partly cloudy tonight, upper 50s for lows. We'll be in the sunshine all weekend long, both days with highs in the low 70s. Right now, 53 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. IBKR Event Trader offers a new way to trade futures. Use event contracts to trade your opinion on yes or no questions in key CME future markets. Learn more at eventtrader.interactivebrokers.com. Up first, we're going to get a sense of how the Federal Reserve's interest rate hikes are impacting the labor market with the October jobs report. It's due out at 8:30 Wall Street time. ZipRecruiter chief economist Julia Pollack believes it'll show the jobs market cooling, but at a very slow pace.
Job gains are still around 60% higher than they were before the pandemic each month on average. They're still much more broadly spread across the economy, across industries. Overall, in those aggregate numbers, this job market still looks strong.
ZipRecruiter chief economist Julia Pollack says industries sensitive to rate hikes could see a steep cool down in hiring.
Well, meanwhile, Karen, more major companies are pulling back on hiring. Apple is hitting pause on most positions outside of research and development, and Coca-Cola is offering voluntary buyouts to some of its staff in North America.
Well, over at Twitter, Nathan, new owner Elon Musk plans to eliminate half of its 7,500 employees. Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow says it's one of several immediate changes Musk is looking to implement.
The $8 a month version of Twitter Blue could roll out as soon as Monday, and that edit button, which is currently exclusive to Twitter Blue subscribers, could be rolled out as soon as this week for everyone on the platform.
Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow says Elon Musk's planned layoffs for Twitter have prompted a class action lawsuit. It accuses Twitter of violating a federal law that requires at least 60 days notice before mass firings.
This could be job news of a political kind, Karen. Former President Donald Trump sending his strongest signal yet. He's planning another White House bid.
I will very, very, very probably do it again.
It was former President Trump at a rally in Iowa.
And over in Europe, Nathan, Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey is defending its latest rate hike despite saying Britain is headed for a deep recession that could lead to more than a half a million job losses.
I don't think people would be surprised when they see that we and the Fed are looking at things through slightly different lenses.
And Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey was speaking with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix. That's the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Again, futures on the rise this morning. S&P futures up 27 points. Dow futures up 176. NASDAQ futures up 83. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 53 degrees in Central Park. Westbound Belt Parkway is closed at Coney Island Avenue in Brooklyn for an accident investigation. We'll tell you more in traffic. First, Michael Barr's here with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A suspected serial attacker is in custody after a rape in New York City. Carl Fainer, a 29-year-old man experiencing homelessness, was arrested for the sexual assault of a woman who had been jogging along the west side of Manhattan. This Good Samaritan helped the victim.
I didn't ask what happened. I didn't want to pry at all. I didn't want to, you know, intimidate her, scare her.
Police say the suspect used the victim's credit card at a Target in Midtown. New York Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul campaigned at Barnard College in Manhattan with Hillary Clinton and Vice President Kamala Harris. She talked about the Supreme Court decision earlier this year that removed federal abortion protections.
I've heard my opponents say, oh, don't worry. The day after the Dobbs decision, nothing changed in the state of New York, so don't worry. You know why nothing changed in the state of New York? Because I'm the governor!
New York Republican Representative Lee Zeldin predicted an upset in Tuesday's gubernatorial race at a campaign rally in Albany.
Upstate, around the rest of the state, they're ready. They're ready to fire Kathy Hochul.
Polls show Hochul ahead over Zeldin. The FBI says it has received credible information about a broad threat to synagogues in New Jersey, a warning that has prompted some municipalities to send extra police officers to guard houses of worship. Governor Phil Murphy says he has been in contact with the state attorney general and New Jersey Homeland Security about the credible threat. Oprah Winfrey says she is backing Democratic nominee John Fetterman in Pennsylvania's key Senate race over Republican opponent Mehmet Oz. Winfrey helped turn Dr. Oz into a household name on TV. Power rationing widened in Kyiv as Ukrainian authorities sought to relieve pressure on energy infrastructure that has been targeted by Russia's escalating attacks. Meanwhile, at a Pentagon briefing, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was asked whether he believes Ukrainian forces can retake Kherson.
I certainly believe that they have the capability to do that. Most importantly, the Ukrainians believe that they have the capability to do that.
And the UN's Nuclear Safety Agency says they found no signs of possible dirty bomb production at three facilities in Ukraine. The inspections came at Kyiv's request after Russian accusations. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State. Out of here again is John Stanshauer.
Thanks, Nathan. The Nets played tonight at Washington. We'll see if they allow Kyrie Irving to play late last night. What the Nets and the NBA have been waiting for, an apology from Irving. He posted the words 4 hours after the Nets suspended him for at least five games. They said they were deeply disturbed by Irving's failure to disavow anti-Semitism, despite multiple opportunities to do so, including yesterday.
I'll take my responsibility for posting that. Some things that were questionable in there, untrue. Like I said, in the first time you guys asked me when I was sitting on that stage, I don't believe everything that everybody posts. It's a documentary. So, take my responsibility.
I apologize. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said he's going to meet with Irving next week. Houston Astros have their first lead of the World Series. They beat the Phillies 3-2. They lead the series 3-2. Jeremy Pena had the go-ahead home run. Justin Verlander got the win, his first ever in the World Series in his ninth career start. Ryan Pressly with a five-out save, and Chaz McCormick may have saved the game with his catch in the bottom of the ninth inning. Tomorrow night in Houston, either the Astros win their second championship ever, or there'll be a game seven on Sunday. NFL also, Philadelphia versus Houston. The Eagles won 29-17. They're now 8-0. It's their best start ever. The Bruins are 10-1, scored four times third period at the Garden, beat the Rangers 5-2. The Islanders and Devils both won on the road. They both won five in a row. That New Jersey win in Edmonton came when the Devils late third period scored the tying and go-ahead goals 7 seconds apart. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Mm-hmm.
John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Let's take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market before the open, before we get October payrolls. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us this morning, going above and beyond, starting off with a look at U.S.-based stocks from China.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Nathan. We talk a lot about the Federal Reserve and what the next catalyst for the bull market might be when it comes to stocks. But David Inglis over in Asia, one of our anchors and, of course, our markets kind of reporters slash leaders over in that region, made a really interesting point. I promise it connects to the stock market here.
Okay.
Bear with me, Nathan. He said, what if China is the new alternative? We talk about there is no alternative. We talk about tech stocks. We talk about all this investing. What if China is where this next leg of growth is supposed to come, especially as we talk about speculation about more reopening? You're starting to see a report, for example, that they are starting to pull back on some of the restrictions that are coming on the likes of planes and airlines, for example, holding passengers that may have COVID going into the country. You also have, of course, a Bloomberg News report outlining progress in efforts to prevent the delisting of hundreds of Chinese stocks from the U.S. exchanges. So this is really important because it talks about how maybe there is a little bit more reintegration of China, which we haven't really seen for about 2 years now. Nevertheless, that sentiment, Nathan, I promise it all connected, connects to some of these big U.S. listed ADRs or from China. As you point out, Alibaba is our poster child here. BABA is your ticker, up about 10% in the pre-market. You also have the likes of JD.com. Now, those are, once again, our two big e-commerce giants, also up about 9% in the pre-market. And of course, when you look at those ADRs, I always like to look at Pinduoduo as well. It's just kind of one of my, one, I love to say it, and two, it's just kind of a fun stock to look at, but also up 9%. So you are seeing that ticker PDD up in line with the entire complex there.
Yeah, I mean, that could be kind of a long-term trend, whether we start to see more reopenings in China and that potentially being a catalyst. But we also, in the meantime, have to look at the catalyst that continues to be this kind of up and down earnings season.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when it comes to fintech and payments platforms. That's going to take you to our next couple of stocks here. PayPal, PYPL, shares actually down 6%. They were lower as much as 8% earlier in the session, cutting their forecast for their annual revenue. They're saying there is a slowdown in spending, really commenting on the consumer there. Analysts also talking about the strong dollar, macroeconomic headwinds weighing on the forecast there. Nathan, I also want to leave you with one last one.
All right.
Block, formerly known as Square, SQ is the ticker, up about 14%. They also came out with earnings, actually beat expectations, boosted some optimism. So some conflicting messages coming from PayPal and Block.
All right. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta will be with us throughout the day as we take a look at the market reaction to potentially the next catalyst. That would be October payrolls coming out in less than 2 hours now. But ahead of that, the market's pointing to a stronger open on Wall Street for now. S&P futures are up 29 points. Dow futures up 193. NASDAQ futures higher by 87 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures on the rise this morning as we await the October jobs report. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Ken. That's right. U.S. futures are trading in the green right now. Dow futures up 206 points, S&P's gained 31, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 92. The U.S. 10-year yield at 4.14%. Gold is up 20. Oil is also climbing. And Bitcoin is trading higher by 1.7%. Hong Kong soared 5.4% overnight on speculation of China easing COVID zero policies. And European markets are also trading in the green this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, 8:30, non-farm payrolls. And after the bell last night, PayPal cut its outlook while Starbucks sales beat estimates. And regarding earnings this morning, Hershey beat estimates. Wrapping things up, Fidelity National was cut to market perform over at Oppenheimer. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Former President Donald Trump sent the strongest signal yet that he plans to run again in 2024, saying in an Iowa rally that he will very, very, very probably make another White House bid. The former president is also scheduled to hold rallies in Pennsylvania, Florida, and Ohio. Most of the nation falls back this weekend, putting clocks back an hour to standard time. In the NBA, the Nets' Kyrie Irving has apologized after being suspended for at least 5 games for failing to disavow anti-Semitism when he was given an opportunity to do so. As for games, the Warriors lost. The Astros are a game away from winning the World Series. Game 5. Houston beat the Phillies 3-2. Thursday night football, the Eagles down the Texans 29-17. In the NHL, the Bruins beat the Rangers 3-1. The Islanders and Devils won. The Capitals lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
Hey, Michael Barr, thank you. At 6:49 on Wall Street, we turn to news in science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. Ranked a top 100 national university by U.S. News & World Report and number 14 in the nation on Money's Best Colleges list. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The U.N. Climate Summit is back in Africa after 6 years and four consecutive Europe-based conferences. The 27th annual conference of the parties of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, better known as COP27, will be held in Egypt and begins next week. The Earthshot Prize, founded by Britain's Prince William to honor groundbreaking solutions to environmental issues, will broadcast its second ceremony on PBS and the BBC. William, who launched the global prize with the Royal Foundation, will join the event, which will be filmed next month in Boston. Each of this year's five winners will receive $1 million to accelerate their projects aimed at the prize's 2030 goals, protecting and restoring nature, cleaning the air, reviving the oceans, building a waste-free world, and fixing the climate. And a new app is being launched to help foodies find fresh seafood in Rhode Island. According to the Department of Environmental Management, the new app called Fishline lets consumers search for fresh seafood from markets and restaurants, as well as directly off the boat. The app can be downloaded at seafoodri.com. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Something to know next time I'm there. Thank you, Karen. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's just about 6:51 on Wall Street. Now it's time to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include former President Donald Trump dropping his strongest hint yet that he is running in 2024. Oprah Winfrey endorsing John Fetterman over her former protege, Dr. Oz, in Pennsylvania. Carrie Lake's election denial in Arizona could potentially reshape 2024, and President Biden's hawkish tilt on China, stirring worry of U.S. overreaction. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins for more on some of these stories. Emily, I think we heard the words from Michael Barr a few minutes ago from former President Trump. Very, very, very probably.
Yep, you got to get all three berries in.
Yes.
That is what Trump said during a rally in Iowa. It's just the strongest signal yet that he's going to run for president. But we have already seen multiple signals from the former president that he is considering another run. Trump's former senior counselor, Kellyanne Conway, told reporters that they can expect Trump to announce soon. And she gave him credit for holding off this long to the midterms. Remember, a lot of Republicans were worried that if Trump announced another run, that he would sort of come back into the spotlight, and that wouldn't be good for a number of Republicans who are running in more moderate swing districts where voters might have conservative values and support certain things about the Republican Party, but were really turned off by Trump. And so that'll be a really interesting dynamic. Of course, with the midterms being on November 8th, we are expecting very soon after that for the race for 2024 to start. You've already heard Biden say that he is going to run again. We're expecting this announcement from Trump. Certainly there will be others who will be angling to get into both potential fields. We're just on this never-ending treadmill of elections at this point. And we're about to jump off 2022 and onto 2024.
Yeah, in just about 4 days here. And as you allude to there, the former president has been hinting quite strongly for months now that he's probably going to make another run. What kind of impact is that having on the midterm race itself, the 2022 race?
It hasn't had a ton of impact, only because Trump has, you know, he's not a candidate yet. He hasn't said that he's going to run. And so that's allowed Republicans who are running in slightly more swing states. I'm thinking about folks like David Valdeo out in California. I'm thinking about some of the more moderate Republicans that were running in the Northeast, be able to really put some distance between themselves and Trump, to kind of go back to the mainstream Republicans' stances about cutting spending, about sort of returning to fiscal stability. They've been able to focus on things like inflation and the economy, which are really good issues for Republicans to discuss without being asked constantly, hey, Trump tweeted this, what do you think about it?
Although it is interesting, though, we've seen a number of Republican candidates across the country up and down the ballot sort of embracing the election denial strategy that former President Trump has put out there. And there's a really interesting story on the Bloomberg Terminal this morning honing in on Arizona gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake as a pretty prominent example of that.
Yeah, I think of all the election deniers who are running this year, Carrie Lake is certainly the most interesting to watch. The Republican nominee for Arizona's governor, she has centered her campaign on promoting the lie that the 2020 election was stolen from Trump, saying that if she had been governor, she would have not certified the election for Biden. And of course, Nathan, that has real concerns for what that could mean in 2024. Lake is currently up in the polling. There's a good chance that she is going to become Arizona's next senator. And remember, that state was so central to Trump's efforts to overturn the election. There were all of those recounts, including that controversial recount by the private firm Cyber Ninjas that also found that Biden won. But part of the charm of Carrie Lake is that she was a former TV anchor. She has a name ID outside of the Senate race, and it's been much more difficult for Democrats to paint her as an extremist. And so it'll be very interesting to see what she will do as governor. And I think there are lots of concerns being raised now across the country about what 2024 is going to look like. If folks like Lake and other election deniers get into office, what is going to happen with a legitimate election, with how folks vote? Will that be tallied? Will that actually count to the result? Really, really a lot of concerns that are being raised 2 years out.
I want to turn to this story on a geopolitical note as well. Some worry potentially coming out of Washington now about President Biden's pretty hawkish stance on China.
Yeah, there are a lot of folks in Congress, Biden himself, who have become like very strong China hawks, especially as we've seen Xi Jinping secure himself a third term. But there are some leading U.S. specialists on China who are skeptical of the logic behind the U.S. aggressive stance. They're not dovish on China per se, but they're just worried that by being so aggressive, that might lead to more aggression from China and that things might eventually escalate. Bonnie Glasser, the director at Asia's program for the German Marshall Fund of the United States, called the U.S.'s approach sloppy and said it could end up provoking the war that we seek to deter. And that'll be very interesting to see how that stance continues in Congress, where they've had a lot of these laws come out about China, about how the U.S. and China relate. You've seen this really strong bipartisan support for being aggressive about China. And it'll be interesting to see if there's any sort of breakthrough through some of these other China specialists who say, hey, we have to take China seriously, but we also should try to avoid escalation.
And just 30 seconds left here. That's going to put a lot more attention on the G20 summit coming up later this month, because Presidents Biden and Xi are potentially going to meet there.
Potentially, yes. And this is going to be obviously a very critical meeting, but between the two leaders, between the two economic powers, they've had a bit of a rocky relationship. But at the same point, the White House has still tried to say, you know, we do want to continue to work with Beijing on our mutual interest, while, of course, continuing to do things. Speaker Pelosi's, I think, trip to Taiwan was a huge example of kind of how the U.S. is trying to position itself right now in relation to China.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins getting ready for the last weekend before Election Day, midterm Tuesday. Emily, thanks as always. Read more at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Of course, the most important news coming out of Washington this morning, October payrolls due out in a little more than an hour and a half. We will have full coverage for you on Bloomberg Radio and television, including an interview with Labor Secretary Marty Walsh later on this morning. Bloomberg Surveillance is next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.